everyone, and once again, welcome to Relay, the Team GB podcast, supported by GoDaddy, the series that shines a light on some of the athletes who will be representing Team GB at the Tokyo Olympics. Welcome on board, here we go. I'm Vernon Kay, and I'll be honest with you, I'm a massive Olympics fan. It brings the nation together, it brings the best athletes together in the world to compete for that all-important gold medal. And alongside me on this podcast is comedian Rhys James. Rhys, word up, brother.
How you doing?
Oh, that was very, word up, brother.
Word up, brother.
It's like we've known each other for a long time.
He's wearing a hoodie, he's gone with word up, brother. He's appealing to the youth.
Nicola Adams, welcome on board.
Yes.
The beautiful smiling face of two-time gold-winning champion.
He's doing the most.
There you go. Nicola, we talk a lot about your achievements in the Olympics and how important it is. What did your friends and family, how did they react when you lifted the gold medal, or when the gold medal was draped around your neck?
Oh, they were just super happy. Like, it's been my lifelong goal, like, since I was a kid. So they were just absolutely over the moon. I mean, they'd been through all the injuries, all the setbacks, and then just to finally see me there on the podium, unbelievable moment.
First ever woman to win a boxing gold.
Hey. I like being first.
If you could, without it looking so garish, would you have neon lights above your front door telling everyone who lives here?
Nah.
Have you ever used the gold medal to get in somewhere where they like didn't have a table? Have you ever just like turned up wearing it and just being like, are you kidding? Of course,
have you got a table. Or have I got a friend to ring up on your behalf?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely done that. Got a friend to ring up.
Like, have you really? Have you really? Now we're winning. That's what this podcast wanted to achieve.
And that's why you win gold, lady. Kids listening?
Oh, Nicola, we've got to get into this. So go on, what did you want to achieve and what did your friend blag you into?
I mean, you know, sometimes you might want to get into a restaurant and there might not be any tables. And dropping your name, you might get you a good table.
Oh, I love this.
It's got to have its perks, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there's no financial reward for winning the gold medal in the Olympics. All you need is a table in a posh restaurant.
Exactly.
And all that hard work and effort is paid for in itself. I love the fact that you got friends that ring up. Now, Rhys, apart from blagging restaurant tables, if you're a two-time gold-winning champion, Olympic champion, you've had a bit of interaction on the old social media.
I've been trying to blag stuff. I actually did also try and blag my way into somewhere once. I once pretended to be Nicholas Holt. To try and get into a nightclub that it turned out Nicholas Holt was currently in.
No!
This is true, this has happened. And also, here's where it went wrong.
Okay. You do look like Nicholas Holt.
I look a bit like him. I used to look a bit more like him. And then we were at the back of this queue for this nightclub. It was my friend's birthday. And I thought, I'll try and get into this. I was hammered. I thought, I'll pretend I'm Nicholas Holt. So I went to the front of the queue. First mistake I made was I couldn't remember his name. So when I tried to say, I am this person, I said, I am the boy from About a Boy. Now, I don't think that's how Nicholas Holt introduces himself. And then the guy was like, what? And then someone, one of my other mates, and he's Nicholas Holt, he's an actor. And he went, it happens to be Nicholas Holt's birthday party in here tonight. And my instinct was to go, no way, it's my birthday as well. And then I, what was awkward is obviously he said no, and then I had to go to the back of the queue and then show him my ID with my name on it to get in. So it didn't go well. But I have managed to blag some stuff thanks to this podcast. Not entry into any kind of restaurants, I wouldn't do that anymore. Nicola. But obviously, last time we were on here, we were talking to Chev Clark from Team GB Boxing, and I sort of pitched, you know, what sport could I get involved in? You know, he's 30 going into his first Olympics. I'm 30 thinking maybe it's not too late. Could I get involved in maybe the archery, the breakdancing? Not the boxing, I accept, not the boxing. Okay, don't look at
not
me like
face.
That, Nicola. But this clip was obviously put out on socials, and then a few Olympians who follow Chev got in touch and sort of were tagging me in these posts on Instagram, saying stuff like, so first of all, it was Joshua Bogeski, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, from GB Rowing, replied, tagging Martin Perry, who plays table tennis, saying, wonder if table tennis could be the one. Martin, could you give Rhys a few lessons? And then he replied saying, the ball's in your court, see what I did there. Very clever stuff, actually.
Nice.
And I said, look, a ping pong ball for me is normally in someone else's drink on the other side of a table, so I'm happy to get some lessons. And then he said, well, let's set up a practice. So it seems as though I am going to be the next Olympic ping pong star for Team GB after one practice with Martin Perry. So I'm going to try, and I think now for the rest of the series, my plan is to just like, with these social clips, to just try and get as many free lessons from actual Olympians when they return as possible. And then who knows what I could be capable of.
Well, this is going to be your Olympic legacy. Yeah.
This will be my legacy.
Yeah.
The third host of the podcast for the official Team GB GoDaddy podcast. And I get a few free lessons.
So when it comes to the Olympics, we talk a lot about legacy. Nicola, I'm sure you've inspired a whole generation of boxers. Do the girls come up to you and say, hey, Nicola, you've inspired me to put on a pair of boxing gloves?
Yeah, they do. I get that quite a lot, actually. Even some of the girls that have qualified for Tokyo.
Oh, does that make you feel old?
Yeah, it makes me feel awesome. I'm just like, wow, like, I've inspired them to go to the Olympics and want to win a gold medal. That's awesome.
Yeah,
never in my dreams I thought that that would ever happen.
It must be a bizarre feeling when you are the key in the lock that opens the door for someone's sporting professional career. You know, you must feel proud about that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, all in a day's work.
Come on, Adam. Reece, obviously you've inspired many a comedian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've inspired people to say I'm going to put on a pair of boxing gloves as well. A lot of people have watched me and gone, you know what, with that punchable face and that attitude.
Well, one thing that does stick in my mind from 2012, because 2012 was huge, wasn't it, for us as a home nation?
Yeah.
Was all the volunteers. Remember the volunteers where it became a thing to help out at the Olympics? And I think there were 70,000 volunteers at 2012. And we've got a legacy choir. Let's welcome Liz Stainthorpe. I think is that right, Liz? Have I said your surname correct?
Yes, that's a good Yorkshire name, yeah.
Yes. Oh,
Yorkshire.
Well, I'll raise you six fingers and let's say hi, six. If you're from Yorkshire, welcome on board. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Let's talk about the choir that was created, the Games Maker Choir, as a result of all the volunteers of the 2012 Olympics. You guys got together. Just tell us how it came about. How did you form a choir after the 2012 Olympics?
So the choir was formed at the Olympics, at the park, by a young games maker called Victoria Verby, who was working on security, had a bit of a passion for music, decided to do something about it, put something in the newsletter for the volunteers, and the next thing she knew, she had 200 people singing in the canteen and on the bandstand at the Olympic Park. So all of it crackers. I was at Heathrow. Do you know those accreditation things that everyone has hanging around their necks?
Yeah,
I was doing that. That was my experience for the Olympics. Met up with the choir, and the next thing we knew, everyone thought we were marvellous. We performed on the Mall. Then we went into a recording studio, did a charity Christmas single, sitting on breakfast TV couches, and Sports Personality of the Year. So all a bit crackers, and still going 10 years later.
Wow, just from an email. Just from an email from Victoria on security. That's amazing. When you say that you were performing in the canteen, I mean, I'm picturing High School Musical, you're on the tables. Is that what it was like?
Do you know what? If you've seen any of the 2012 volunteers and sporting volunteers, it was a little bit like that. Yes, a little bit like that. Yeah. Glee on acid, yeah.
yes. You guys must have buzzed off what the volunteers and what was being created.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you went past the volunteer, they were always super excited, super happy to see. They just couldn't do enough to help you. Like, whatever you wanted, whatever you needed, they were always there. It was just so nice to see. And I remember one time actually getting the tube, and it was so weird because everybody was talking to each other. You know, normally it's like, right, I've got to get a newspaper. I mean, make sure I don't talk to anybody on the tube. It was the complete opposite. Like, it was just like the whole of London just lit up.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
From the moment, but even from the moment we won the Olympics, right, as in won the rights to do the Olympics, we didn't win the Olympics. Even the moment we won the Olympics, and that was it forever.
Yeah.
When we got it, I remember that moment. From then on, everyone was just buzzing. That people celebrated that like a last minute winner in a World Cup final. When they said it's going London 2012, people went crazy. I was at school. All the teachers ran through a thing screaming. That's how we all found out. And everyone was just buzzing from then on. And then obviously it bled into this community spirit in 2012.
Yeah, where were you, Nicola, when you found out that we were going to get the Olympics 2012?
I was in the gym.
Of course you were.
Come on. Yeah. Did you need to ask?
Yeah, of course you were. Giving right hooks to a big heavy bag, right? Yeah, of course you were. I was in a restaurant. And the same thing happened to us in the restaurant as did to you at school and probably you in the gym. It just started and then it got bigger and bigger. And then eventually everyone just stood up. in this restaurant. Everyone stood up and clapped.
Wow.
I mean, they were knee-deep in rosé, I'll be honest with you, but everyone stood up and clapped. And it was from that moment on, like you said, Reese, that we're like, the Olympics are coming home, and it's put a smile on our face. Liz, do you guys, when you get together and when you sing in the choir, do you guys reminisce of 2012, or have you kind of moved forward and you're looking for the next gig? Tell us about what goes on in camp, I guess, with the choir.
What goes on in camp? So, we do reminisce a little bit because that's sort of where everyone met. But actually, they do so much volunteering all the time that it's sort of the next big thing. So there are people at the moment volunteering at the Euros. I was due to go out to Tokyo. There are a couple of people still going out to Tokyo. We had people that volunteered at the Special Olympics, the Invictus Games. They've done all sorts of things since London 2012, which means that it's always fresh. And we try and keep it fresh. We try and perform, you know, songs that everyone's going to enjoy and just make sure that, you know, we're a nice little sort of reminder of 2012. But we aren't stuck in, you know, the 2012 uniform. We wear red, white and blue, and we try and tick the boxes of, you know, Britishness, community, spirit, sport, all those good things. So we try and sort of, you know, surprise and delight is our sort of MO. That's what we try and do.
Oh, that's lovely. And you must keep an eye on the charts and keep an eye on what music is popular at the moment.
Yeah, we try and do, you know, stuff that people recognise and enjoy. There's all sorts of things that are associated with different sporting events. So, you know, if you go to rugby union, there's certain songs you're supposed to sing, and we try and make sure we sing those, crowd favourites, that side of things. And then we try and do, you know, a bit of cool stuff as well. You know, not all choirs are cool, but we try and do a little bit of something that, you know, keeps us relevant. Bit of Stormzy here and there, you know.
Liz, what's next?
Next for us, well, singing is not the most popular activity at the moment, but we are celebrating our 10th anniversary next year, obviously 2022. So we plan on doing a big concert somewhere, you know, near a sporting event, inviting all the volunteers to come and, you know, participate and just, you know, celebrate the legacy of volunteering and, you know, have some fun as well.
10 years. It's 10 years.
Liz, Liz,
why did you bring that up?
I'm sorry.
Liz, thank you so much for talking to us. Is there a website that we can keep tabs on the Gamesmaker Choir?
Yeah, so it's gamesmakerchoir.org.uk, or you can find us on socials. Anyone that volunteers in sport is welcome to come and join us. We are in a non-auditioned choir and it's all joy, so come on board.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Liz. And it's amazing that the legacy of 2012 continues outside of the world of sport with the choir and you bringing back so many memories for everyone who gets the chance to see you sing. So thank you very much, Liz. Really appreciate it.
Smashing. Thank you. Good luck, everyone, to Tokyo. Bye.
And if you've got your own story of how the Olympic Games has inspired you, or you've got an exciting adventure coming up this summer, then perhaps, like, maybe you're getting married or starting a new job, whatever it is, as long as it coincides with the Olympics. If you'd like us to give you a mention on the podcast, then you know what to do. You can get in touch at Team GB on social media, or you can use the email relaypodcast@tbimedia.co.uk. I'm going to give that more oomph. Or you can email us at relaypodcast@tbimedia.co.uk.
Wow, has he done that?
That was quite good, wasn't it?
Excellent.
This is Relay, the official Team GB podcast, and it's high time we introduce you to our very special guest. It's not one, but two stars of the Great Britain rowing team, a sport I really admire because I can't imagine myself ever doing it, mainly because I look terrible in Lycra. Let's welcome to Relay Polly Swan, everyone. Hello, Polly, and Matt Rossiter. Hi, guys. Polly, we'll start with you because we can see that you're on a balcony. So where is your balcony? Where are you? It looks beautiful.
I know. Thank you. I'm in sunny Italy. We're just on training camp. I can't show you, but the place that we go rowing is literally about 20 metres that way. And we've got a bit of a storm coming in soon. So if you've got any thunder and lightning, then that'll be why.
All right. Perfect. And Matt, where are you, my friend?
Vernon, we're in Austrian Alps. And much like Polly, the lake is 100 metres that way. We were in Italy where the girls' squad are now, but the men's team are up at 2,000 metres altitude in the Austrian Alps.
Wow. I mean, if there's anywhere you're going to train, guys, the Austrian Alps and Italy sounds all right. It's better than, you know, the Manchester Ship Canal, isn't it? That's pretty cool.
I think the best bit is that we get some ice cream shipped on in here as well.
Oh, we don't mention ice cream. It's fattening. Don't mention ice cream. It's not good for athletes. So what one thing that is lovely about you guys is that you're actually a couple. You're actually a rowing partnership as well as representing Team GB. You both, I guess, represent each other.
Yeah, I guess so.
Indeed.
Although I try and get Matt to come out in a boat with me, but he's refusing. He won't let me have a go.
Yeah.
Have you raced against each other?
Well, but not really. I mean, you know, let's be real. I'm not going to win against a man, but we kind of do these ranking races where you get to compare different boat classes. So I guess we do race each other quite a lot.
How'd you get together?
Nicola.
Oh, Nicola, stay in there. Hello, Tinder.
Yeah, Matthew, how did that happen?
Oh, hang on, there's a story here because, yeah. Polly, you threw it straight over to Matthew.
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah.
Did you sail into her DMs?
Oh, that was good.
That is very accurate, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Polly's loving this.
Well, to be fair, the real story is that we've known each other for about 10 years, haven't we? So back when Matt used to have hair.
I got loads.
I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've probably known each other about a decade. And then, I don't know, we were just quite good mates. And it kind of, I never really saw it coming. And then, yeah, he did slide into my DMs.
Yeah. That's Polly's story. The real story is that Polly's endless persistence has paid off. Firstly, Nicola, that's so un-British, just going in like this.
I'm a boxer. Who wins the arguments?
Oh, wow, what a stupid question. Polly always wins the arguments.
Well, I'm always right. I usually get told off every now and again. I'm just going to give you some feedback, Polly. All right, here we go. Okay.
Give me a pen.
I need to know.
I'm writing that down.
Feedback.
It's called feedback.
Okay.
It's feedback. Okay. Yeah. So.
And then I usually take the feedback and then tell him he's wrong.
So. Okay. So I think we've established that they're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Matt and Polly, now that we've got that out the way, now that that's swept under the bed, so to speak, let's talk about you guys training. The Olympics just a few weeks away. Polly, we'll start with you. Where are you at? How are you feeling? No niggles? Everything is 100%?
Yeah, good. I mean, you've probably got us on our worst couple of days because we're still in like the full thick of work training camp. So I think I sent Matt a photo of me looking really haggard and knackered this morning after my first session. And then,
I bet he said, can I give you some feedback on
that? Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. He was like, well, do your best, Paul. We'll see. So yeah, this is like the last couple of weeks of like real grind. And then we'll start to taper coming into Tokyo. And we actually come back to the UK for about a week before we fly out. So it'll be quite good just to do a bit of speed work there before we get out. And we kind of do a bit of isolation when we're in Tokyo. And then it's full steam ahead. So yeah, feeling good.
Yeah, you're in a boat with Helen Glover. So you guys must have to be in sync with each other. And I mean, physically, but also mentally, you must have to understand what each other's thinking as you're cutting the waves, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty good in a pair because you've just got, you know, you've got your coach, you've got the person you're rowing with, Helen and myself, and it's quite easy lines of communication. You just can chit chat and understand each other. And, you know, we're sharing a room here on camp, so there's like a bit of chat in between sessions and stuff like that. And it's good just to kind of get inside everyone's mindset. Whereas sometimes if you're in a bigger crew, you can make assumptions, and I don't know, if there's 8 or 9 of you in a team, then there's a lot of lines of communication. It can get all a bit frantic. So I think we're quite lucky in that we're both quite open, and it's just been nice. You know, the two of us we're a bit older, so a bit wiser maybe. And then got other stuff going on as well. So Helen will always, like, when she's FaceTiming the kids, she'll let me come and have a look, and I'll get all gushy about how cute the kids are, and yeah, it's just a nice way of taking your mind off things.
And has Steve Backshall accidentally walked into shot with his t-shirt off?
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, I keep trying to persuade him to take his t-shirt off, but he's not keen. But
hey, listen, they live near me or us, and I accidentally walked into a gym while Steve was working out. Never went back. No. I never went back.
You didn't join him on the Olympic rings? Just did muscle ups? No. You didn't fancy it?
He's a one-arm pull-up guy. Mm. I just went and had a jacuzzi. I'm like, that's the only thing I can do.
I'll tell you the worst part. I did Mastermind with Steve Backshall, and he's also brains.
Oh, he's got it all!
He's got it all.
Oh, that's so not fair. Hey, Matt, good luck when you go out for dinner as a pair.
Yeah, we went around for a barbecue, and I was so rattled. I was like, Polly, what do I wear? What do I say to Steve? He's like mega famous. But then he was covered in like baby slop and charging around the house getting us drinks and everything. So I certainly wouldn't be getting my top off next to Big Steve in a gym, though. No way.
No. Matt, where are you at with your training? Everything all right? Feeling good? Feeling confident? No niggles? No, nothing going on in the background?
Yeah, good, thanks, Vernon. Yeah, we, much like Polly, yeah, it's the final kind of tilt now before we fly out to Tokyo. We're at altitude, so there's less oxygen, so you kind of, the body has to work a little bit harder to function, and then hopefully you heal back a bit stronger. But no, there's about 35 of us up here. The boat's going well. I'm in a four.
Well, let me stop you there, Matt. There's a lot of pressure in the coxless fours, isn't there, historically, with Team GB?
Well, I'm going to stop you there. There is a lot of pressure, if that's how you want to see it, with people like Matt Pinson and Steve Redgrave, who've done really well in the past. And for sure, like, there's expectations from the public, but kind of times have changed. There's a really strong squad where it's not just the Coxless Four. There's Polly's boat's going really well. There's some other girls' boats going really well. The men's eight's a good chance for gold as well. And we're looking to kind of write our own story. We're not trying to let anything else kind of get in the way of that.
How do you find the altitude training? Because I always found when I did it, it was quite tough for the first few days, like getting used to it and the sleeping and everything. How do you find it? How do you adjust?
It certainly does take a bit of getting used to, but even small things like walking up the stairs, you're huffing and puffing, but your body gradually compensates. And yeah, I think now most of the boys are feeling pretty good, and hopefully our bodies will be full of red blood cells when we get back down to sea level.
Forgive me if this is a stupid question, but for all three of you, I mean, why are you altitude training? Now, you both are rowers. You are a boxer. These are not sky-based activities.
Polly's a bloody doctor.
Well, yeah. Okay, fine. Thanks for throwing that at me. Yeah. So, I mean, essentially, if you have less oxygen to breathe in, it stimulates your body to produce more red blood cells. So that means that you're going to be able to hold on aerobically for longer in a race. Nicola, what's the benefit for boxing? I'd love to know.
It's the exact same thing, really. When we'll train at altitude, we'll spar at altitude, do all the pad sessions, so that when we come into competition, it just aerobically, it just makes it a little bit easier. You don't get tired as fast.
It enables your body to use oxygen more efficiently.
Yeah,
that's why you train at altitude. It's an amazing science. And having spent some time with Mo Farah in a castle in Wales, I know all about oxygen and high altitude training. I'm going to go back to the relationship thing, but tie it in with rowing, if you don't mind.
Right, go on then.
Do you guys, in your spare time, obviously professional athletes, and Matt, this is your first Olympic at 31, I do believe. And the last time the Olympics was on, you were working in it. Was it a shoe shop, a clothes shop?
All of it. Flogging all sorts of merchandise, Vernon. We could have sorted you out with T-shirts, posters, general detritus at over prices.
But when you're sat together, when you're both at the dinner table or when you're on a social event, let's say you're out with friends and you're having a glass of wine and some food, and your mates start chitter-chatting about what's on Gogglebox or whatever, do you guys ever turn around to each other and say, what do you reckon about this, that and the other technique? Or have you sharpened your blades for the race at the weekend? Do you ever find yourselves just dropping into rowing conversation in normal surroundings and normal circumstances?
If First of all, I don't think we've had normal circumstances, have we?
That's true.
I think we're quite good at not talking, Ray.
Well, there's nothing else, Vernon.
Oh, yeah.
There isn't anything else. My restaurant is Rowan.
Do you guys live in Marlow and Henley in that area?
Yeah. We're both in Henley.
All right. Well, I'm in Beaconsfield. So next, when you come back, we'll go out for dinner together and we'll talk about Strictly Come Dancing and how the Family Fortunes interactive DVD is still available. And you two can talk about rowing. But will you guys be sharing a room in the village or?
Oh, no.
I am loving Polly. I am not interested. Matt, you found a winner there, my friend.
See, this is the thing. He just gets absolutely bullied the whole time. He met my parents a few weeks ago and, oh, the poor guy. You just got slated, didn't you?
I held my own, actually. They were trying to make me sing at the dinner table.
Yeah, I know. We found out that he was the choir boy, the like lead chorister in his posh prep school. And this is absolute gold in the Swan household.
It's gold on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it just so happens that we were chatting to the manager of the Legacy Choir earlier on in this episode, Matt. And
they are recruiting.
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
I think he should do an audition.
What? No, Polly? No?
Yeah.
No.
I reckon. Yeah.
Sorry, the connection's gone dead.
The connection's breaking up. Hello, I'm breaking up. You're listening to Relay, supported by GoDaddy, the official domain name, website builder and web hosting partner of Team GB and the company that empowers everyday entrepreneurs. Now, Polly, we haven't mentioned yet, but over the past year during the pandemic, you went back on the wars to support the NHS. How tough was that with training as well?
Yeah, it was a bit of a funny one because the days that I was working, I would just cycle in and out. So it was about an hour cycle to get to the hospital I was working in. And usually there'd be a group of consultants, sort of middle-aged men in lycra with their beautiful car and bikes, and I'd rock up on my steel frame bike with my backpack on and my trainers, and then off we go and kind of race to work. And so those days, actually the training aspect of it was covered and it was quite easy, but then obviously you're on your feet a lot in the wards and it was quite long days and pretty full on. So then in a weird way, the days that I had off and were going to be my full training days and I'd be matching up with the same as a team, they were the hard ones because I actually had to get out of bed, motivate myself and, you know, train in a shed in the middle of the garden. So it's kind of not quite as, I don't know, glamorous and exciting as it would be if we were training as a team kind of thing.
So, Polly, did the delay of the Olympics actually help with your training?
Yeah, probably, because I've had an extra year. So I came back in 2019. I'd just finished my degree, done my finals, and then somehow scrambled my way back into the team, kind of thinking I'd do well if I was like the spare. And yeah, so shocked myself by getting into one of the world championship boats, and then we actually qualified for the Olympics. So then having, I guess, an extra year to kind of consolidate on my training, because I did the worst thing ever after a year and basically stopped doing anything, didn't do sport for about 6 months, and then was quite half-hearted with it for the rest of the sort of my time away from the sport. So yeah, I had given myself a bit of a mountain to climb, but now I'm feeling quite good. So probably you're right, yeah. And now, obviously, I'm now training with Helen, which wouldn't have happened if the Olympics had happened a year ago. So yeah, lots of quite good positives, despite obviously it being a difficult year.
Now, Matt, first Olympics at 31, I think we mentioned. We had Chev Clark from Team GB Boxing on, and we discussed the fact that he was 30 going into his first Olympics. Now, I turned 30 recently. I'm finding all of this, speaking to you guys, very inspirational. It implies to me that it's not too late for me. Now, last week, we had a discussion about what I could possibly enter in. Archery was brought up. Breakdancing was pitched by Vernon. Do you think rowing, have got any chance of getting in the rowing team? You know, I'm a year younger than you, mate.
Reece, how tall are you?
Let's not get into that. Come on. First question. 5'10 and a half, and I'm keeping the half.
Oh, you've got a chance. How's your willpower?
Oh, absolutely abysmal. I'm a comedian.
Well, surely you've had to commit to that, to getting egged and tomatoes lobbed at you at Edinburgh Fringe or something.
Now, why would you assume it's gone badly? Why would you assume?
No, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, that is true.
Especially at the Edinburgh Fringe. They're absolutely brutal.
There's some resilience, yes.
Reece, if you get yourself down to 55 kilos, you could be a cox and just mouth off at all the all the crews.
That's the person who sits there banging on about stuff, right?
Yeah, they're seriously important. Yeah.
Basically, that's essentially doing a podcast on the boat.
Yeah, it literally is. Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? Why does that guy start hosting that podcast at the end of the boat? I could do that easily. Is that just saying row more, do it better?
But ultimately, they keep the boat straight because actually rowing boats don't go perfectly straight. So they'll do that and then have a microphone and then, just run a podcast during the Olympic final, essentially, as you said.
But the thing with rowing is, because I live near Henley and Marlow, and I did the comic relief rowing thing down the Thames, and it struck me very quickly that rowing is a sport that's all about timing, but every muscle group in your body is used to get that canoe, kayak, boat down the water as quickly as possible. It's the most physically and grueling thing I've ever done, rowing. You're absolutely spent by the time you've finished. I mean, you guys are fit as a fiddle, and the pressure that you're under to be at that peak performance moment as you step into the boat for the Olympics must be immense. Because it's all about timing, right? In that you're physically ready, your technique is on point. Just talk us through that preparation and how you get to that final moment where, to the moment you step in the boat, you know you are 100% ready to go.
I think, there's, for an Olympics, it's probably the most prepared I've ever felt in my life for any race. I think because we've got a really good history of talent and success, we know as a team how to get the training program right. So for example, at the moment we're in a really heavy training phase, and then it'll turn into speed work, and then it'll turn into a taper phase, and then then we're ready to race. So from a physical side, I usually feel almost like I'm itching to race. And then the getting to know each other thing, Matt, I don't know if you would agree, but it's, you spend so much time with these people because you're, especially in COVID times, right? We train together, we eat together, we're now on training camp together. So sometimes there's points in the year where you would spend more time with the people you row with than you do with your partner or your family. So you're like really in each other's shoes. And again, that kind of makes me feel a bit more relaxed and a bit more like there's less pressure because I know Helen knows me inside out. She knows exactly what to say at the moment when it's needed. She knows, she can tell from my body language when I'm flagging or when I'm feeling like absolutely supreme. Yes, okay, it is very demanding. Yes, it is very physical. But for me, the Olympics is about like kind of showcasing what you've created. And it's almost like the art of racing and the freedom of racing. You just get to express yourself. It's a bit philosophical, sorry. But it's where you kind of... Yeah, you get to just show this like pinnacle of what you've created together. And I always think that the last race of the year is when we feel most ready because all those little bits that you're talking about come together in a really like perfect fashion.
Amazing. It always amazes me that when athletes get in and do what they do, it's just second nature. Don't even think about it. Just get in there and get it done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you've done all the practice, you've done all the training. But Matt and Polly, with just under 3 weeks until the start of the Olympic Games, it's time to get some last minute advice from two-time Olympic champion and a stand-up comedian. This is our very own pep talk. It's written just for you and delivered in verse form by Nicola and Reese. So, Reese, Nicola, in your own time, take it away.
I'm excited for this. This is brilliant.
The GoDaddy Motivation Station.
Polly Swan and Matt Rossiter. Olympians, your time has now come to compete in the land of the famed rising sun. The training's complete. The excitement is growing. Let battle be joined for the Olympic Games rowing.
Polly, you're half of a dream coxless pair, a match made in heaven like Roger's Astaire. The other crews all will be diving for cover. Your teammates, the double gold great, Helen Glover. Heroic though winning a medal might sound, your courage while training knew simply no bounds. Doing hospital shifts while the virus took hold. Wow, who needs a medal? Your heart's made of gold.
Matt, you're a part of the men's coxless four, the boat that the Brits like to sweep all before. Redgrave and Pinson, Cracknell and Foster, Williams, Leloudis, a star-studded roster, all champions immortalised, worthy of fame. And Matt Rossiter soon will be adding his name. You and your teammates are rowing Fab Four. Just instead of a fender, you're wielding an oar.
There might be no crowds on the banks of the river, but still, without fans, there's no doubt you'll deliver. Back home, we'll be cheering with unalloyed ardour, our greatest success since the Spanish Armada.
I actually love that.
All right, Polly and Matt, thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope we've inspired you. You've definitely inspired us. Matt, no pressure. Next dinner with Steve Backshall and Helen. You'll be all right. If you need a wingman, I'm just down the road. Polly, all the best. And thank you for everything that you did during the pandemic. As a nation, obviously, we appreciate it. And we will be whooping and hollering from a virtual riverbank, basically our front rooms, when you guys take to the oars. So all the best, lots of love, and yeah, go get it, go get
thanks
it.
Thanks everyone.
Thanks guys, thank you so much for having us, that's great.
I'll be honest with you, I know that sounds really selfish, but I really enjoyed that episode.
Don't sound so surprised, it's always a laugh.
It's good fun, really
yeah,
good
it
fun.
It is good.
So that's it from me, Vernon Kay, from him,
Reese,
and
James.
From her,
Nicola. The gold medalist.
Wow.
I was expecting Adams, but we'll give you that. Yeah. And thanks to you for listening at home. We really appreciate it. Or wherever you are, because that's the beauty of a podcast, isn't it? You can listen on the fly. The whole series is up and running. It's up there. If you've not yet caught a previous episode, then go to wherever you get your podcast from. Give it a download. Give it a subscribe so you don't miss out on anything. And if you're kind, give us a comment. If you're not, then don't. It's as simple as that. And visit teamgb.com for all the latest news, views and interviews from inside the camp, because I think if you can get inside, it gives us a real insight into what's happening with our athletes. And you can get in touch with us at Team GB on social media, or email us. Here's the email address. If you're on a train now, put your paper down, grab a pen out of your briefcase and write this down: relaypodcast@tbimedia.co.uk. relaypodcast@tbimedia.co.uk. And if you're asking, TBI Media are the production company that make the podcast. It's that simple. Next time on Relay, we step inside the GB women's football team's dressing room. This is going to be really interesting because we didn't make it to the last one in Rio. Last time we played women's football was in 2012, I do believe. We're going to be talking to two wonderful players, Carly Telford and Leah Williamson. We'll be talking to them about what it's like in camp and what their hopes are and where they think they can get in the Olympics in Tokyo. Relay is a Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy and produced by TBI Media. So, you know, I said it before, do it again, subscribe, and we will catch you next time. So from me, Vernon Kay, from him,
Reese James,
and her,
Nicola, the gold medalist.
Yay! We bid you farewell and we'll see you next time. Oh, I do beg your pardon, you don't subscribe anymore. You follow.
No, and I don't think people have briefcases either.
It's middle age.
Yeah, you've got
that's
to accept it now.
Do you know what I mean? Okay, well, hey kids, why not give us a follow? And you know what? Grab a pen out of your duffel bag and write down the email address and away you go.
Now, here's a guy who's excited skateboarding's been added to the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm going to get a tattoo.